Welcome to Chapter 40, Longport. This chapter represents 9 years of my life, and in many ways it was the best of time and the worst of times. The best of times can be summed up in two words, in general, Mary Dyson. After I left Topox, Mary Dyson and I stayed in touch, and over the next couple of years, she kept me up to speed on the developments that she was working on in England with the scanner. At the time we originally acquired the license on the scanner through Ventnor, the scanner was really a desktop model. Over the next few years, Mary, with the aid of other technicians and scientists in England, evolved the scanning technology and into a portable version. That to me was a major difference, because initially the patients had to come to the scanner. Now the future looked as if now the scanner could go to the patients. And given the applications, especially with pressure ulcers and nursing homes and what have you, I saw this as a major development going forward. By this time, Mary and I had developed a terrific working relationship. We both wanted the same thing, and we really complemented each other in the sense that we both wanted the same thing, and we had complementary skills. So her ideas needed funding, and the funding that I saw possible with this kind of technology, the potential, it seemed to be a natural. So in the end of 1993, beginning of 94, I decided that we did a fundraiser. We started a company called Longport Inc. We did a private placement, and then we did a what's called an SB2 registration, which is nothing more than registering the shares, the existing shares. So it's not like an IPO where you sell stock to raise money. We had raised money and were selling the shares. So it was a little bit of, it was really more about the sequence that made the difference between IPO and an SB2 registration. Actually, this is the first time in my entire life that I got involved in something that I was going to build it, not through acquisitions or mergers necessarily, but build it in a traditional way. And it was a challenge, to say the least. The major hurdle that I saw was getting FDA clearance. And my understanding was early on that the best way to pursue that, or at least one of the major areas that would facilitate getting an FDA clearance, is to get clinical studies in high-profile places and get high-profile clinicians and medical people involved, kind of as an endorsement to the validity of the technology. We went ahead and did that. And over the next couple of years, we had major studies going on at Yale, at Harvard, at Mayo Clinic. Basically, the scanner, as I mentioned earlier, was able to see at a higher resolution than ever before the first centimeters below the skin. Just to give you a couple examples of why we were excited about this, in the burn market, when the treatment of burns, there's three degrees of burns, first, second, and third. The first and third are pretty much easily identified. The first degree burn, you just basically send the person home and they heal on their own. Third degree burn, they pretty much have to surgically remove the areas that were burned. It was a second degree burn that was always a challenge because it was a combination. We did a study among other places at St. Agnes with John Malilly, Dr. Malilly, the head of the burn center, and he was able to identify different where the first degree and third degree burns existed, and how to navigate a second degree burn, which was a combination. It wasn't one or the other. It was a mixture of severity in the burn wound area. That was really cool, that whole thing. And John Mullally, we got to know him very well, and wound up at the dice table with him more than once. Another area was in dermatology, especially when we were talking about melanoma. Melanomas are removed or treated with a procedure, a Mohs. It's called a Mohs procedure, where they basically shave the top of the area, and then biopsy it, then shave it until they know they've got it all. With the scanner, you were able really to get a schematic drawings, more or less, of what that melanoma looked like below the surface. That was important, we felt, because it would allow the procedure to, it made sure that in one setting, they knew exactly the diameter and the width and the breadth of the problem, and could be removed in one shot. Also, it prevented the removal process. Sometimes can actually become more of the part of the problem if the melanoma is kind of like encapsulated, and the procedure to remove it causes it to puncture. So the dermatology market was certainly, you know, another one that was really worthwhile. But the biggest one, and the one that excited Mary and I the most, was the bed sore, the pressure ulcers, the long-term care market. Looking at this market from strictly the business standpoint, it was determined at that time that a pressure ulcer, let's say in a patient in a long-term nursing facility, it cost $10,000 to heal a wound, a bed sore. That was the estimate. And also the long-term care facilities, their biggest liability was bed sores. So it had a direct relationship to what they paid on their insurance. So on the surface, everybody seemed to win. The patient, as I mentioned earlier, the pressure ulcer comes from the inside out for the most part, 90% of the time. We can actually, if we were to have preventative scans, let's say once a month, of both heels, both elbows, and the lower back, the coccyx area, that's where 95% of all pressure ulcers occur, because that's where the pressure is on the surface, on the mattress. And obviously, when people get older or their health is compromised, you know, the skin thins out, and that makes them more susceptible to these. And people can die. They do every year, thousands of people, from what's called septicemia, which is blood poisoning from secondary to a bed sore. So from every possible angle, to me, this was, from a business standpoint, this was a no-brainer. Everybody won. The insurance company paid out less. The long-term care facility had a lower incidence of pressure ulcers, and therefore they reduced their insurance costs. It was non-invasive. The patient didn't have this pain and suffering of having to deal with it if we could get it before it surfaced. Anyway, you get the picture. It was probably the most obvious business / healthcare opportunity certainly I've ever seen. In the first four years or so, I raised about $5 million basically through the sale marketing and licensing the scanner in different areas of the country. The people that saw it saw the potential for it. And in the meantime, we hired an FDA consultant, and we went through that whole process, and we finally got FDA approval. I go back and overlooked one thing. At the beginning, when we did the SB2 registration, we opened the stock at a dime. The day we got FDA clearance, the stock hit a high of $4.56. I'm going to stop this chapter now and pick it up in a couple chapters later, because this is an appropriate intermission. The second half of this story can be described, at least in part, in the worst of times, going back to my original statement. This amazing opportunity did not bring out the best in everybody. Thank you. Up next, my home away from home.